Well, a lot of exciting things happening here in Connecticut, and a lot of the arts and culture that are being brought to you are either being supported by or are in some way influenced by CT Humanities. Founded in 1974, Connecticut Humanities is an independent nonprofit affiliate of the National Endowment for the Humanities. They connect people to the humanities through grants, partnerships, collaborative programs. They do projects, administration, and program development, and are supported by state and federal matching funds, community foundations, and gifts from private sources. Certainly, our guest this morning, Dr. Jason Mancini, is as excited as we are that the International Festival of Arts and Ideas is happening. He may be more so because he is going to be participating in it. We're going to be talking about an event that is going to be featuring our guest, the executive director for the Connecticut Humanities, Dr. Jason Mancini, in just a moment. We just want to tell you that children's mental health has been declared a national crisis by many, including the U.S. Surgeon General, and it remains a growing concern among parents. A new survey of about 500 parents through the Kids Mental Health Foundation found that 7 out of 10 parents and caregivers with children under 18 are concerned about their kids' mental health and wellness. But there's hope and a variety of resources, more than 500, in fact, including guides, videos, curriculum, and articles that have been created to build skills, literacy, and prevention habits on numerous topics. You're invited and encouraged to access any of these resources. All you need to do is visit kidsmentalhealthfoundation.org. All right, so here we are with Dr. Jason Mancini. He's Executive Director of Connecticut Humanities, and I guess let's start by expanding on that introduction, Dr. Mancini, and your role and when you came to Connecticut Humanities. Let's talk about your beginnings with this organization.
It's good to be here, John. Thanks. I've been with Connecticut Humanities now for about 6.5 years. I came from a long history working with tribal communities and specifically about 25 years on the Mashantucket Pequot Reservation at the Pequot Museum. And so I brought a lot of my community work with the tribes and with communities of color to Connecticut Humanities, and thinking about the way we engage humanities work, education, civics engagement, and so on. And so with the team I have now, we've really set out to be a leader, shaper, and convener of culture in Connecticut. We've become more accessible and inclusive in our work through our funding, through our digital programs, our advocacy, professional development, and other partnerships. And we do this because we believe that humanities are invaluable to every citizen in this country and every person in this world. And certainly for Connecticut, we focus on cultivating engaged and informed citizens. That's central to our work.
Yeah, and certainly we see at cultural events, art installations, craft shows, even things like cooking demonstrations and concerts. We see people from all walks and all stripes who can come together and irrelevant of the medium, they can all stand side by side and experience the same inspiration or fulfillment and enjoyment. And so being part of an organization that's working so hard to not only build that range of opportunities for people, but to do it with a focus on inclusion, diversity, equity, and access must be really, really fulfilling given where you came from in terms of your background.
It is. It's central to who I am and the organization that I lead. And we've been doing some transformative work over the last 3 or so years during the pandemic. We had worked very closely with the State Office of the Arts And with the legislature in securing about $31 million to create the Connecticut Cultural Fund. And through that, we created a grant program that was awarding funds to over 700 cultural organizations across the state. And it was really central to re-engaging our public through the different kinds of organizations we have, opening up people's eyes to the breadth of culture we have in Connecticut. We have an incredibly rich cultural landscape, and I think this was an opportunity to really build on that. We, for the first time, were able to get grants to organizations led by and facing communities of color. So that had not been a major part of our work in the past. And now relationships and community-based engagement is really where we're at. I'm proud of it.
When you think about the arts and humanities, you really think about the experience that individuals have as they are witnessing it or participating in it. But your organization is committed to confronting bias, racism, and inequality. And there's probably no better way to do that than through an engaging and kind of user-friendly medium of some sort of arts or humanities activity.
Yeah, I think, you know, in the work that we do and in the collaborations and partnerships and grantees that we have, you know, we've been pretty clear about our goals around diversity, equity, and access. And I think, you know, part of that really also builds towards civic health and civic vitality. And I think in our current era of polarization, I think humanities is so central to bringing people together and focusing on what we share in common, not what divides us. So this is the work that we're able to do across our organizations and across our communities. Our partners have been central to this. You know, as you talked about earlier, sort of mental health crises and educational deficits, you know, humanities is here for that. We are the types of organizations that bring people together and focus on how to improve how our society works by really looking at ourselves, looking at the people around us and the world around us, and how to better engage it.
Yeah. Are these events and activities and the people who give birth to these creative endeavors are really the ones that are blowing the holes through the walls that are separating us in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you know, with programs like Arts and Ideas in New Haven and the work that they do in bringing people together from across the state around a variety of topics, it's the pinnacle of what we look for, in the kinds of work that we do.
Yes. So we will have quite a historic VIP on the panel, with you at the Arts and Ideas Festival, coming up, on Saturday, June 29th at 4 p.m. at the Humanities Quadrangle at the festival, absolutely free. You can meet and learn about the chair of the National Endowment for the Humanities, Shelley Lowe, a Navajo Native American by culture. And Jason is going to be also a part of that, discussing the critical role that the humanities play in tackling society's toughest contemporary challenges. Jason, how do you kind of prepare to squeeze as much good conversation and productive information out of an hour or so with someone like Shelley Lowe, when you could probably go for days?
Indeed. And I have gone for days with Shelley. She and I have known each other for a number of years through our shared work with Native communities, in this region. And we're thrilled to be hosting her here in Connecticut. And just for a little bit of background, we'll have her here for a couple of days and showing her around Connecticut, where she has been before. She spent some time at Yale in the past. So we will be in the eastern part of the state, in Mystic and Stonington, looking at some of the new exhibits at Mystic Seaport, talking with the tribal community about some an initiative around a tribal college and work in the eastern part of the state. And then we'll be spending some time in New Haven thinking about the work that Yale's done with confronting their history with slavery and so on. And so, you know, the work that, or the conversation that I really want to shape with Shelley is thinking about the work that she's seen around the country that is addressing the most critical issues of our time. How are humanities organizations leading the way? And then I'm going to ask a little bit about what she sees in Connecticut that's inspiring. We've got some amazing organizations doing incredible work, and it very much fits in line with the broader NEH work and their American Tapestry initiative that seeks to connect our past with our present, with our future. Mm. You know, and I think one of the most invaluable things that we can learn from Chair Lowe is the ways in which is the first Native person to helm the National Endowment for the Humanities, how her perspective as a Native person has informed or reshaped the work of the agency. And I think this is something we haven't had before, and it's a new day.
Mm. Now, if you could help listeners understand a little bit of the dynamics between the National Endowment for the Humanities and your organization, Connecticut Humanities, how much connectivity is there, and how does one kind of support and feed the other?
Yeah, so the National Endowment was created in the 60s, and by the early 70s, many state and territorial councils were coming online. And so we are one of 56 state and territorial affiliates of the National Endowment. And so our relationship is both as a partner. So we accomplish much of the grassroots work that the National Endowment for the Humanities seeks to accomplish on a statewide level for Connecticut. We get into every community. Our work affects all Connecticut residents in one way or another. And so the deployment of the state and territorial or jurisdictional councils is critical to the mission of the National Endowment. We also advocate in Washington for funding for the National Endowment. They can't advocate for themselves, so we on the grassroots level advocate our legislators to continue this investment. You know, it's the founding legislation of NEH specifically mentions that democracy demands wisdom in its citizens, and democracy is rooted in the humanities, and the wisdom is rooted in the humanities.
Well, in regards to your organization and earlier conversation, it sounded like during the COVID era, there was a lot of positive development and fortifying and some, affirming of positions as well as growth in Connecticut Humanities. But at the same time, the COVID era took its toll on the humanities and arts communities, and particularly all of the small venues that tend to host a lot of these activities, the galleries, the theaters and such, the dance studios and concert halls. Although, if anything, the International Festival of Arts and Ideas proves that, you know, you don't need a box to put a great creative, entertaining art in. You know, these venues certainly have their place, and it's really pleasing to see headlines in recent weeks that the federal government is also turning its attention to supporting the spaces in which the arts and humanities are presented.
Yeah, it's absolutely critical to the foundation of our country and our democracy. You know, and the knowledge systems that exist, the intellectual drive and creativity and entrepreneurialism is rooted in this work. And we know when the state, when the federal government invests in arts and humanities, communities thrive and our nation will thrive. I think, you know, one of the things that we've lost sight of clearly in recent years is the civic vitality of our communities and the ways in which our organizations, our cultural organizations, can bring us together. Mm-hmm. It's critical.
And when we speak of pride, national pride, certainly, you know, one of the biggest things that we'll be focusing on as a nation is America 250, the 250th anniversary. And your organization is joining with many others across the country in playing a role in that celebration. Let's steer toward the end of our conversation by looking forward to that and how Connecticut Humanities is going to be part of it.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, John. So I'm the state's the vice chair of the state's 250th commission, and Connecticut Humanities is administering the work of the commission. And this is we've developed a number of themes that we're focused on. One is telling inclusive stories. We'll also address the power of place. And how our localities are so significant to our histories and community groundedness, doing history so that people are understanding where they come from, where our nation has come from, so that we understand where we're going, and then for the common good. And this really speaks to the civic dimension of our work. So we know our nation is founded on sort of individual individuality and independence, but I think we also need to bring back a sense of our common goals, our common future for the good of our nation. And so we will be we have quarterly meetings. We'll be having a public meeting on July 17th, so people can listen to that. More information about all of this is online at ct250.org. We hope that your listeners, elected leaders, will help us to establish relationships with their communities and the planning that they may be thinking about, and being in contact with us so that we can help them to commemorate this moment. We are looking to reach as many Connecticut residents as possible. So we're not just looking into our history, but into our future. We want to make sure that Black and brown communities, Indigenous communities, LGBTQ folks, all see themselves in this commemoration. If it wasn't in our past, it's in our future. And I think that's what we're excited about.
Since 2018, our guest this morning, Dr. Jason Mancini, has been leading Connecticut Humanities, focusing on strengthening organizational partnerships, engaging diverse audiences, and anchoring Connecticut's placemaking, public history, and integrative digital initiatives. You can see him in a conversation with his friend, Shelley Lowe, the chair of the National Endowment for Humanities, in a free talk as part of the International Festival of Arts and Ideas, this part of the Ideas Summit. in the Humanities Quadrangle. Once again, absolutely free. This great chat happening on Saturday, June 29th at 4 p.m. Dr. Mancini, best of luck with this and the efforts that you're doing in helping leading Connecticut to be a big part of America 250. And best of luck in your event coming up on the 29th. We appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so much.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.